Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that today we will receive the ingrafted word of God to grow up big inside of us. I submit myself to you as an instrument you can use. Speak through me as I speak. Teach me as you speak through me today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Isn't God good? So this is week two of Advent. And last week I began a series. It was kind of connected to the previous series because we've been kind of talking a lot about walking by faith, living by faith, right? But last week we talked about getting your what up? Your hopes up. Getting your hopes up, right? So you've heard that phrase before. So perhaps you're just joining us and you weren't here last week. The phrase, don't get your hopes up. How many in here have ever said that to somebody? Right? You know, I'm not sure, but I know I've said it before. And it's one of those phrases that if we really think about it, it may not be the best thing in the world to tell somebody. Because what it does is it kind of like, it takes away any kind of positivity that that person might be having about something in the future that's going to happen. And, you know, sometimes it's best if you can't say anything that's going to help them be positive, don't say anything that's going to cause them to be negative, right? And it's not about positive thinking here. So we're talking about hope. But we're not going to be coming at it from a psychological, human standpoint. Okay. We're going to be coming at it a little bit differently. Hope is a very powerful tool that God allows us to have because we have a relationship with Him. The Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 that He's the God of all hope. So if He's the God of all hope, then we, as I said last week, ought to be hope dealers, right? Yeah. We ought to be dealers in hope, meaning that we actually share hope with others. We give them a reason to hope. Yeah. We give them a reason to trust God. We give them a joyful expectation of the future. And when I was preparing for today, you know, I came across another verse that I wanted to share with you, and it says this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. You can turn there if you're taking notes or that sort of thing. And it says this. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope." A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we have been born again because of God's mercy, and we actually have been born into a living hope. Mm-hmm. Now, hope, as we said last week, is a Greek word that's elpis is the, and it actually means a confident expectation of the future. And you say, but what's the difference between hope and faith? Well, hope is the living relationship that you have because you've connected with God. See, in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul told us that when we didn't know God, we didn't have hope. Hope is one of the most powerful forces that actually gives rise to our faith. Mm-hmm. Now, we just read in Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 11 and verse 1, and you can go back there very quickly. And what does it say? It says, now faith. So faith is present. Now faith is the substance of things, what? Hoped for, which is the future. So when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, your perspective is on the future.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, I might be going through a trial here on planet Earth, but I'm not going to be devastated. Why? Because my hope is beyond me. My hope is in a relationship. It's a living hope. And here's a sad truth. The world that doesn't know Christ, those friends, those family members, those coworkers, they don't have hope. And they have no way to have or get hope unless they trust in Christ. And you say, man, that's harsh. But it's the truth of God's word. Ephesians chapter 2. Turn with me there if you would, real quickly. I want you to see this, because this is not Pastor Doug's idea here. This is the Word of God speaking to us, teaching us about hope and faith, how they work together. If we are going to get our hopes up, and I'm using it in the plural, I know, it's get our hopes up, because you can have hopes about many things in your life. And those hopes are the future confident expectation that are based in a relationship with Christ. Our hope is in Him.
Yeah.
Our hope is that He is not a man that He should lie. That He is the one who infuses us with hope. So we may go through trials. But what gives us that strength to keep going? What gives that person to keep going, to keep on keeping on, even when they've been knocked down, even when they've been knocked out? Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? He said, I've been knocked down. I've been knocked out. He goes, but I'm not out of this. I'm still standing. He said, no matter, he'd been shipwrecked, beat. Now let's focus it in just a little bit on the Christmas story. And this is not a separate sermon, but I want you to see something about hope. Mary hoped in God. That's why she could say, be it done unto me according to your will. Be it done unto me. She had a trust and a hope in her God. Now, we sing the song, Mary, did you know, right? And it's a great song. I love the song. But here's the truth. Mary did know. If anyone knew, Mary knew. Because Mary knew she had not slept with anybody. Come on, people. You got to know. I'm talking to adults in the room, right? All right. She knew. So if anybody knew that she had God on the inside, it was Mary. And she is blessed among all women. Now, in our, you know, traditions, we don't venerate Mary. We don't pray to Mary. But I think sometimes we don't give her the credit that she needs. All right? An amazing woman. But I want to talk about somebody who I wish somebody would write a Christmas song about. Joseph! If anybody had to... You talk about, people say, blind faith. Think about this just for a second. Joseph being a good man, a righteous man. Right? He's engaged to be with Mary. And he gets a phone call. Yo, I'm with child. And Joseph knows he hadn't been with her. Think about the possible physical and psychological reaction that Joseph would have gone through. But being a good man, that means he was a godly man who had a hope that was beyond what was in this earth. And now think about it. We don't have one recorded word from Joseph. Not one. But his actions speak louder than words. because he was going to quietly divorce her, put her away because he didn't want to embarrass her. This guy was a gentleman. And what does he do? He starts to do that, and God gives him a dream and says, oh, don't do this. So now he's like, okay. But he didn't complain. What did he do? He did it. Think about the trust. Not only the hope, but the hope that gave rise to faith. That now he is going to be the earthly father of the Savior of the world. And it doesn't stop with the trials. Because now the baby's born, and you know, Herod's trying to kill all the babies. So they have to flee to Egypt, flee for their lives. His whole upheaval, his whole life, maybe what he even had planned, he had thought it out. You know, like most men, we try to be logical. Sometimes our ladies in our family might say sometimes we're not. But we try. We really try. We try to be logical. And we try to think things out, right? But we don't always see it from all the other perspectives. But in our mind, we might have a plan. That plan was totally disrupted for Joseph. Because now he's the father, the earthly father of the Savior of the world. I don't think he woke up one morning and goes, I think I'm going to marry a virgin that's with child. He's going through a lot. He's an amazing discussion and study on somebody who had great faith. Well, now, how does that work for us? You might be going through something that seems devastating, that seems like, you know, Pastor, I don't know if I can get through this. Maybe a doctor gives you a report. Maybe you've got a difficult boss, relationship, employment situation, financial situation, you name it, the list could go on, right? All of us live in this life, in this world. We can go through things, but our hope, the Word of God tells us, hope is an anchor. Now, what does an anchor do? Anchor doesn't save you from the storm. It stabilizes you in the storm. An anchor does not save you from the storm. It stabilizes you in the middle of the storm. I know from growing up around boats that that's exactly what they do. I was about probably in seventh or eighth grade, and we went on a trip with relatives in a boat, and we were anchoring in between some islands, and we anchored at night, and everybody went to sleep, and everything was fine. In the middle of the night, pitch black dark, we're nowhere near civilization, a storm comes up. We're in the Caribbean. A storm comes up, and it is blowing, and people are yelling because the anchor gave way, and we were going toward the rocks. And we were in a boat, about a 35-foot boat, and then we were also tied to another 40-foot boat, and we were there. There were relatives from the Bahama Islands that owned those boats, and that's the only reason why I found myself there. And so we're there, and the storm blows up. The storm blows up, people are yelling, and what did they do? They threw out another anchor. That anchor held and saved us from the rocks, but it didn't save us from the storm. We still went through the storm. So you might be going through something today. You might be going through something to say, I don't know where my hope is. Well, I want to have you reconnect your hope to Jesus Christ. Reconnect to a living hope. A living hope. And I love the fact that the Greek language gives us that flavor. It wasn't just hope like the world gives, or peace like the world gives. But it's hope that is alive. It's hope that's in a person that he has this. It's a confident expectation for the future. It's a confident expectation for the future. And faith, then it gives lift to our faith that wherever we are right now, we can absolutely trust him. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's why by faith you can speak truth of God's word and you can see God come through for you because that living hope is on the inside. I want to illustrate it this way. So, you might be going through something. You might be going through something in your life. When you have a living hope will help you, and you can actually see God transform what's going on in your life. He can actually transform a situation when you have hope on the inside. Now, both of these balloons look identical, do they not? Yes. Now, one has hope, one does not have hope. When you go through the trial, this is what happens. The one that does not have hope doesn't give any lift to faith. The one that has hope has a lift to their faith. So what are we talking about? Instead of going through a devastation, you go through a transformation. Because then you go from faith, from hope, and that hope lifts you to faith. That's how they work together. When you have that relationship with the living hope, Jesus Christ, and then you have that relationship with his word, And going back to my series a couple weeks back, you have that relationship with his people. What does that do? That strengthens you. It strengthens your hope. You might be going through a storm. That anchor is going to hold you until that, instead of being devastated and ending up on the rocks, the hope gives way to faith and lifts you to what God wants. And you can see the result in your life. You'll see the manifestation in your life, in those areas of your life. Mm-hmm. Now you say, Pastor, well then how come it doesn't happen so easy? Hey, I don't have an answer for that other than it's an anchor for our soul. Hope is an anchor. So we got to get our hopes up. And as we talk about faith, because today is the second Sunday of Advent, faith is that substance of things hoped for. Evidence that, in fact, one translation says title deed. You have the title deed. If I handed you a deed to a brand new car, would that be your car? Huh? Colin? It'd be your car, right? Handed you a title deed to a brand new car. That's your car. That's what hope does. It leads to the substance of that thing that was hoped for, that promise that God gives. If God gives a promise of healing, you can be healed. You find that promise in the word, you hang on to it, and that hope gives way to faith. And faith will lift you and get you to that next destination. So I want to encourage you during this Christmas season that you would allow hope to rise up inside of you by connecting with your relationship with Christ. If it's been on the back burner, put it on the front burner. You know what I'm talking about. If it's just kind of been kind of not the priority, put it on the front burner and watch what God does. You'll see open doors come your way. You will see opportunities. You will see job opportunities, and I don't know who that's for, but I feel like that's for somebody. That somebody's needing a job opportunity. And I don't know, because nobody's told me that. But I believe that the Holy Spirit wants you to see that there is a reward for those who diligently seek Him. In fact, that's what Romans tells us, and it tells us that there is a reward. There's a reward for them who diligently seek Him. Praise God. So hope is something that we've got to hang on to. We've got to keep our rope, if you will, tied to that anchor. Keep our rope tied to the anchor of hope, because hope will lift you every single time. Every single time. And today, I felt hope rising up in a lot of you in the worship service. And as pastor, I want to say, go deeper. Don't get scared. I think sometimes when the Holy Ghost moves like that, if we're not used to it all the time, you know, we kind of back up. Don't retreat. Go forward and say, I want more. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, because the more I have of hope on the inside, then the greater lift that I can have. And we know Romans 10:17 that says that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Hearing it over and over again. You say, well, you know, I've been in the Bible my whole entire life. Well, praise God, me, the last almost 50 years, I have too. But I've got to tell you, I'll come across a verse that I've read hundreds of times, preached on it many times, and go, I didn't see that before. I didn't see that before. Okay, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Our hope has to do with us connecting with him. And the enemy's strategy to rob hope from the believer is to keep him or her separated from the source of hope. Well, how does he do that? Guilt, shame, inferiority, works mentality that says, I'm not good enough. Here's the bottom line truth. None of us are good enough. Thanks be to God, he's good enough. So you come through him, and you don't have to worry about guilt, shame, inferiority, or am I good enough? He's good enough. He's good enough. So my hope is in Christ and in Christ alone, because that's how I will go from possible devastation to transformation. Amen? Let's pray. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, every time your word is preached, it either forms something new or a new aspect of your goodness, or it reinforces something that we know we need to hear again. And so, Father, I pray right now that your people would grab a hold of the power of hope, letting it be an anchor, even in the middle of the storm. Father, trusting you that even in that storm, God, that you are able to anchor them, stabilize them, and help them get through to the other side. And Father, I thank you right now that these people that are listening to me, either online or right here, God, that their hope is rising in you, the God of all hope, who has given us the new birth. And Father, I pray if there be anybody, either here or online, that they don't know you. Well, maybe they've known about you, but they don't know you. Through being born again, God, I pray that right now, they would make a decision to trust the God of all hope, to receive living hope into their lives. I pray that right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you need to either come to God for the first time, and to be born again, or you need to recommit your life to him, and you need to reconnect with the God of all hope, the living hope. If that's you, I want you to raise up your hand. I'm going to ask everybody keep their eyes closed, please, for privacy. We're going to pray together, but I'd like to know who I'm praying for today. And so if there is anybody at all that applies to you, you're either recommitting your life to him, or you're coming to him for the first time. Is there anybody at all? I'm just going to wait for a moment. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray this simple prayer out loud, just in case there's anybody online that wants to come into that relationship. Let's just pray this simple prayer out loud. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead, and I trust him as my Lord and Savior today. I make Jesus my Lord. I receive his forgiveness, and I thank you, God, for receiving me because of Jesus. And I call him my Lord. I speak it out loud that I'm on his team, and I am called by his name. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you wanted to pray the prayer, or you just need any extra prayer today, I'm going to be available to pray for anybody. If you need healing, you need agreement in prayer about something, I'm going to be available here. If you're watching us online, you can message us through the Facebook app as well. And we'd be happy to minister to you. Praise God. It's going to be a great week next week. You don't want to miss it. Don't want to miss it at all. It's going to be awesome, awesome time. And if you need healing, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are a Spirit-filled church. What does that mean? We believe in the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit endowed in the believer. That means things like speaking in tongues, things like gifts of healing. We believe in those, and we practice those as the Spirit leads. And so if you need prayer for that, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we would be happy to pray for you today as well. Let's stand to our feet right now. We have our sending out verse. This is what we speak and pray over our church and over you every week as we leave. Let's do it. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. Enjoy your week.